secrets anymore. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hanging on the hook outside your door, just an old guy. Okay, I'll go back. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Skinner, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's go to the podium and hear from Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III on day five of training camp.
We've had a couple of padded practices now. So how do you feel that you've held up in those practices, and how do you feel the offense is looking?
It's good to see the guys come out and be physical. I know Coach really preaches physicality. Offensive line is being physical up front, and it's fun to watch. When you go back and you watch the tape, of course, you watch yourself, you learn what you can do better, what you can fix, but then you get to see guys go out and excel and play well, and I think that's really fun. I think the guys are having fun. It is training camp. You know, you put the pads on, there's going to be bumps and bruises, but you know, everyone's fighting through it, and it's good to see us come out here and continue to get better.
He said that the install has been really heavy, and he's dumping it out on you guys early, and you're having it within the first week. Does it feel heavier than other installs you've been through, and kind of how do you process that as you go through it as a quarterback?
It doesn't. You know, drawing on experience from my career, the past 4 years in the league, being in a couple different offenses, it is a heavy install, but everything plays off of other plays. So you can kind of, hey, if they do this, we're going to do this. If they do this, we're going to do that. And I think the guys realize that. But the advantage of putting it all in is that the rest of training camp, you can just keep working on the same things that you've already put in instead of dragging it out. So, guys have been out there, and we've had to, you know, be like we're at the airport, directing traffic, getting guys to line up in the right spots. But I think the hustle and the effort is always there.
Who are some of the guys among your wide receivers who formed impressions in your mind as the 4 days of camp have gone by?
No, I mean, I think all of them. They've all done a great job. There's no shortage of speed for us at wide receiver, and there won't be. These guys are like a track team out here running up and down the field. But, you know, we got to take care of them and make sure that these guys stay healthy, and they're doing a good job taking care of their bodies and making sure they're available every single day. So I think all of us have been really impressed with our receiving corps and what they've been doing.
Yeah, everybody's obviously curious about how the first-round pick Coleman is coming along. So how is he coming along?
Yeah, I think Corey's doing well. You know, his speed flashes every day. You know, he's a dynamic player. That's why he was a first-round pick, and he went to Baylor. So,
how valuable was he? Said he came out and worked out with you during the break. How valuable was that for you guys and your chemistry? And what did you learn anything about him and kind of what makes him who he is?
Yeah, I mean, I know Corey, so it's. I was leaving Baylor when he was a recruit coming in, and I went back to Baylor a bunch. So I know Corey really well. I know what he's about. I know what drives him. You know, the same with Josh. And it's been fun, the experience of getting to know the rest of the receivers in the same exact way, what drives them, what they do well, what motivates them. But Corey coming out and a couple other guys came out as well to work with me in the offseason, it builds trust. It builds camaraderie to know when he's going to be coming out of his breaks. You know, he made the effort to come out, to come work out, you know, when he could be off. He could be in the Bahamas or something, you know, sipping on pina coladas or whatever he wanted to do. And he came out to work, and I think that's important for him, for us as a team. But when you got examples like Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden out here, it's easy to fall in line and make sure you're doing everything the right way.
It's going to be like an old Baylor offense here and, you know, for a good part of the season, couldn't it? I mean, would that be pretty cool for you?
You know, I think we try not to look at it that way. Obviously, all me, myself, Josh, Corey, and Drango all went to Baylor. And, you know, we enjoy the fact that we all get to play together again or play together for the first time. So it is fun, but it's not our main focus. We're Cleveland Browns now, and we're here to help resurrect this team and make it a consistent winner.
Every day, if anything, does it say to you that you're getting the first team reps?
You know, just every day you got to show up ready to go. Show up and come out and prove it. So you just focus on what you can control, and if Coach tells me to go, I go. And if he tells me he wants me to go play on the concrete with the first offense, that's what we're going to go do. Doesn't matter where we're at, we're ready to play.
Every day we see Pryor motioning into the shotgun and you motioning out as a wideout. Are you looking forward to catching some passes this year?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Robert, can you talk about you know, when we look out there, you see, well, Gary's a little bit limited right now, but when everybody's healthy, you'll have at your disposal Gary, Josh Gordon, Terrell Pryor, Duke Johnson. Can you just talk about Corey Cole? What do you feel about the potential of this offense?
Yeah, I mean, potential to be great. And I think every team, you know, all 32 teams right now look at their roster and say, man, we got them. And it's about the ones who grow together the best, come through training camp and get the best out of their season and become gritty, win close games. You know, when it's winning time, we do the right things. And it's real exciting to see our roster, to see the guys and know that we do have some guys that aren't completely healthy. And when they do get out here and start rolling, it can be even more fun. But it's my job to get them the ball, and you know, I promise you I'm going to do my best.
Right, when we talk about the offense growing together, how do you feel about where you are from a leadership standpoint with a new team? I know you've been through a lot in your career, but this is the first time you've changed teams. And, you know some guys, but there's a lot of guys in the locker room who don't know you.
Right. I've said this before. When you come into a new locker room, a new team, a new organization with a new coach, everybody wants to see what you do and how you respond. And what I've tried to do is go in and work hard, show up every day, and prove it to them that they can trust me. Now, have I done that? You got to ask them. I can't tell you that. I know what they've told me. But you just come in, put your best foot forward, show them that they can trust you, work hard every day. And like I said, you know, 1,000 times, when you got guys like Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, Andrew Hawkins, guys that have been in the league for a long time, when they show up every day ready to work, it's easy to fall in line and do that.
What do you suppose it's like for a quarterback from Ohio State who had big success at the very high level to be playing wide receiver now? And, I'm sure you guys talk some about your shared background as quarterbacks and
right. What's
going on right now is important teammates.
Yeah, and you know, TP's transition from quarterback to wide receiver has been phenomenal. It's really hard to do. Not many guys have ever done it. And as you guys have seen out here in practice, he's doing a great job. You know, I talked to him and laughed with him about when he was at Ohio State in a bowl game back in the day, a couple of years ago, he caught a fade for a touchdown over a safety. And I was watching, I remember watching it, and I was like, man, that guy could play receiver. He played quarterback in the league, and now he's got an opportunity to do big things at wide receiver if he keeps working. And I think we're all proud of him. It's good to see him come out here and play the way he has.
There's a live team scrimmage Friday night. What do you want to accomplish personally in that session?
You know, we just offensively, we want to move the ball, score points. End of the day, that's all we can do. That's all we can control on. It's not about me. It's not about any individual. It's about us as a unit. So just get the unit moving and have positive plays.
Did you do any full speed scrimmages like this in Washington?
Not with the ones, I would say. But, you know, this is Coach Jackson's team, and if he tells us we're hitting, siren goes off and we're hitting. If he wants me to hit somebody, I'll hit somebody too. So that's just the way it goes, and then we all trust Coach that he's going to take care of us and do the right things.
Josh McCown talked about the fact that once a starting quarterback is named, there's no distractions, everybody can get on board behind that one particular guy. Are you eager for that moment when that's over and the starter has been named and it's everybody getting on the same train?
No, you just have to focus on what you can control. There's no eagerness to it. You come out every day with the same mindset to get better. Continue to prove yourself out here on the field every day. And that's all you can control. You can't control when Coach makes a decision, how he makes a decision. And one thing we all know is we're all going to have each other's back. So no matter what happens, we're all going to be there for each other. We're all going to have each other's back. And we're all Cleveland Browns. So we're all here to do one job, and that's win.
Robert, did you sign anything last year? Obviously in Washington, you were playing on the scout team. But did that do anything in terms of seeing the field from a different perspective now as a quarterback in the passing game that maybe you take with you moving forward?
I think all my experiences from the past 4 years in the league have helped me get to this point where I am in Cleveland and with the coaching staff and with the team, and just how to manage everything and control your process and focus on what you can control. So I don't think there's any one thing that's done that, but all those experiences have helped me.
Robert, when you signed here, did you watch Browns film from last year to get an idea for their personnel?
I did not. I did look at the roster and see who was here. And you know, when management talked to me, it was more about having an opportunity to come somewhere and help a team be successful than it was about who was on the roster.
So when you look at, like, Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, two guys in your backfield, have they been pleasant surprises?
Yeah, I really wanted to come out and practice with guys, get to know them first before I ever judge them as football players. Because what you see on tape from one year can be totally different from the next. So when we came out in OTAs, it was awesome to see those guys run as hard as they were running. And, you know, when a new coach comes in, everybody's, you know, starting at ground zero. And everyone has to prove why they should be here and why they should be on this team. And I think all those guys are coming in great shape, ready to go, and it's going to give us a competitive advantage.
How's it going with Cam Irving? How are the exchanges going? And how is he taking over that role left behind by Alex Mack?
Yeah, you know, his first year playing full-time center. And Cam's done a great job. You know, there's always going to be growing pains here and there, but he's being physical. He's calling out his points and making all his checks. But just like Cam, like myself, like everybody on the roster, we all got to continue to get better. We got a long way to go before the season starts to get to where we want to be. But Cam has done a great job.
That's Robert Griffin III sounding confident, knowing that there still is much work to do here as the Browns prepare for their preseason opener in about 10 days against the Green Bay Packers. All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850, you can get on the phone. Still to come, Joe the Show, Joe Schobert, the Browns rookie linebacker from Wisconsin, will be with us at 2:30. So when you come back, it's your time to jump in. What have you been impressed with at camp? What are your questions, your burning Browns questions? What are you worried about for this Browns football team? 216-578-0850, Zagur and Wilhelm, CBD.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is a new day. Day five of training camp.
I thought
from
it was
Berea.
Tuesday because yesterday was Monday.
That is how it goes.
So it's a new
to
day.
Quote that song, Friday, Friday, Saturday comes after words. 216-578-0850, Zagura and Wilhelm here. By the way, the Isaiah Crowell, I don't want to say hype train, but word of his progress is getting around everywhere, and a lot of people are excited about the young running back. We're starting to get a little bit excited about this offense. Do you want to see, like, a day out there as a defensive guy, a day where the defense goes out there and just dominates?
Yeah, but it would be a day like that, and based on what we heard from Hugh Jackson, it may be Friday night. And I'm not trying to blow what – I'm learning what Friday night may represent prior to the Orange and Brown scrimmage, just like everyone else is. But I think when the defense can pin their ears back, when they have all their guys practicing on what they're going to look like on September 11th in Philadelphia, and they pin their ears back and Ray Horton can dig into that playbook, the defense will have their day, I believe. Because that means bringing Ogbah and Kruger and Orchard and Kirksey and Davis up the middle, down after down after down. And that's the one thing that I love about this defense is a really good 3-4 defense is never playing base defense a lot. They're always bringing somebody from somewhere. So can the offense decipher that and block it up properly? Or can Crow win against DeMario Davis 7 times out of 10? You know, or can Duke, you know, win in pass protection 7 times out of 10? Now, the odds will change between those two players, but it's those matchups that I think Ray Horton, as we scout and game plan for teams, that we dig in and we blitz, and our game plan will be constructed to attack the weaknesses of a defense.
I agree. And one thing I'm interested to see is, can we generate? The pass rush was a big problem last year. Can we generate consistent pressure on the quarterback? And it's not enough, I don't think, to just get pressures. You've got to get the job done. Now, you won't see that in any Brown-on-Brown activities. But when you see in the preseason games, you need to see guys get there and finish.
And
that's
see,
very
yeah,
important.
And see, for me, that's step two. You know, being able to get to the affect the quarterback, get to the quarterback, produce sacks, pressures, knockdowns, batted balls, to me is B or number two to stopping the run.
Okay.
I mean, and the only reason you say that and what brought that to my mind is you're like, you know, that's where we need to get. Well, we couldn't stop the run. How the heck are you going to stop the run? And we couldn't stop the run. We couldn't get to the passer. That's what made us a bad defense. Right. And if you can force teams into certain downs and distances, you know, second and eight, you know, third and six plus, where it is, and as I just to go back and for those days that you talked about where the defense is going to win, and pin your ears back, Ray Horton can get aggressive and use the assets that we have along that front line, and we get Joe Haden playing like Joe Haden and Tremont being Tremont, that's when, again, we get really good and we're forcing the offense's hand instead of us playing into what they do.
Right.
And that's and we just we have to stop the run on first and second down. And I think that's what they're working on every single day, multiple periods in a day on inside run. Run fit, run fit, run fit. Stay in your gap. Play the proper technique and allow those linebackers. Kirksey's going to have 110 tackles this year. Okay? And DeMario Davis could very well go over 100 as well. That's how productive the two inside linebackers are going to be in this defense.
And that's the key, getting those guys in there, and they're set in stone. A big battle to watch when you come out to camp will be what happens behind those two guys, who ends up making this roster as the second team inside linebacker. So let's go to the phone now. We got Phil in Brecksville on the line. Phil, welcome to CBD.
Hey, Nathan, Matt. You know, I'm coming on Friday. I'm just pumped, but just
nice.
just quickly on Kirksey. You know, the question is he strong enough? You know, he wasn't strong enough his first couple years, so I'll be interested to see that.
He's a guy. Let me just jump in there on Kirksey. I actually talked to him after practice yesterday because I wanted to seek him out. He's a guy to me that has made big strides, and I think he's kind of the DeMario Davis effect has rubbed off on him. I think he's looked physical. He looks fast. And Matt, what would you say you've seen? That's a position you know so very well from Christian Kirksey here. To me, he looks like a different guy than he did a year ago.
There's a certain way that to play in this league, to stay on the field on first and second down, you have to be able to play behind your pads a certain way. Or a coach is going to, kind of put you in your peg, in your box over here and go, yep, he's a specialty player. He's a third down player, a nickel. Well, Christian Kirksey has risen to the occasion based on the depth chart, based on not drafting anyone really to force that hand at weak inside linebacker position, that when a fullback comes downhill or a guard comes right up on you, you're forced to use your hat in your hands. That means, you know, smack him with your helmet, punch him off you, shed that block and get in and still be aggressive and tackle a ball carrier. Christian Kirksey has shown that. And there was time and time again where there was, you know, you talked about the DeMario Davis collision. There was a collision between EJ Bibbs and Kirksey right in the hole. If he's playing behind his pads, while he may be giving up a little weight, you know, at 235 pounds maybe, I'd like to see him maybe 240-ish or, you know, little 240 plus to be able to be physical in first and second down. But he's throwing his pads around. And that's a very, very good thing for him to add that aggressiveness behind his hard work of getting more physical and stockier in the offseason.
2 days ago in the first live session, there was a little flare pass to a running back, and Kirksey tracked it, broke, got there, closed quickly, which is normal for Christian Kirksey. And normally he would make that tackle, but it sounded different. There was a pop to his tackle, and he was bringing it, I think, a little bit more than we're used to seeing, which I think is going to be very important for him going forward. This defense, you know, you talked about the run defense. It starts up front with the guys up front, right? Danny Shelton especially. He hasn't stood out to me in necessarily good or bad ways. He's had a couple plays where he's penetrated, but what he's done is you've seen him, for those who watch, you've seen him occupy multiple guys and allow other people to make plays. And I think Danny Shelton, the way that he's going to be this year when you know he's being successful, sure, he'll have a couple where he slides in and blows a play up. But for the most part, it's going to be like when you don't hear an offensive lineman's name called at all, you know they're having a good game. I think the same is going to be true with Danny Shelton. You're going to see him occupy and other people are going to make plays, but he is going to impact the defense with his size and presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why when you first started on Danny and, you know, not having a great camp, this, that, and the other, not hearing his name is a very good thing. It's a very good thing because his job in this 3-4 defense is not the job that he had at Washington State to be so productive. His job in this defense is not to be what he was last year. You know, moving around, shifting, doing this. Now, he'll be as a part of stunts and games along the front line as Danny, you know, lost that weight to be able to play three downs and stay on the football field. But his job is to have 600 pounds lean on him, down in, down out, and him not move. And keep those two occupied so that Kirksey and DeMario Davis can skate free, play downhill, and make the plays and be the stars and have the tackles accumulate the way I just said they probably will in this defense.
What's it like in the locker room in that type of a situation where you've got that nose tackle who really in many ways, you know, when you're drafted in the first round, you probably have expectations of yourself that come with stats. You know, we talked about last year, I believe he had, what, 18 and a half tackles for loss,
right.
You know, the sacks. And then you come in the NFL and everybody else is getting a benefit from what you're doing. You're kind of that underappreciated or unsung hero. Do linebackers go up and give that kind of credit and that acknowledgement?
Absolutely. And I think as games start to play out and inside linebackers start to play well, you will hear as a part of their press conferences or opportunity to spend time with the media, them thanking the play of the defensive line, specifically Danny and him occupying guys. And to be very honest, for Danny Shelton, I think this year is his opportunity to grow into that role in this Ray Horton system. You know, and whenever that switch, and it may happen this season, as you know, maybe the second half of the season or in the offseason, when that selfless switch goes off in his mind to it's not about me making plays, because making plays in this defense is occupying two people so that those guys can make the plays, is when Danny Shelton is going to be, you know, considered a Pro Bowl caliber player. There's a switch that has to go off. It's not about me anymore. It's about the we, and that this defense isn't built for the nose tackle to make plays. It's not. It's built for your inside linebackers to make tackles and your outside linebackers to get sacks. Everybody else is an accessory. That's the 3-4 defense. That's why you play a 3-4. And that's why the emphasis is always going to be on your outside linebackers, as it is with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. It was with Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips. And this year, it's Nate Orchard, Paul Kruger, Joel Schobert, Ogba, if he gets reps there. Those are the guys that should have double-digit sacks, and both inside linebackers should have 100-plus tackles.
That certainly would be music to Ray Horton's ears and certainly to that whole defensive room's ears. When we come back, you mentioned Joe Schobert. We'll talk with Joe the Show, the Browns rookie, about his first training camp in the NFL, what it's like to play for Hugh Jackson, a return to the shoe for him as well this upcoming Saturday, and what he feels about his skills as a dunker of the basketball. That's all coming up next. Joe Schobert here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura in the Dog Bowl. Happy to be joined by Browns rookie linebacker Joe Schobert. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Training camp now 4 days under your belt. What's it been like?
It's been a unique learning experience, I think, for me. It's all football. The schematics of the defense. It's just been good to put into practice after looking at it all summer without having 11 guys on the field, or especially these last couple of days having pads on and being able to hit anybody. It's been a new experience, but it's been a lot of fun.
So what's it like for you? Take me inside the mind of a player. The siren goes off and you guys know that it's going to be live. What kind of like, does that get you fired up? What goes on?
Yeah, definitely. That's an exciting time because that's as close to playing football in a game as you're going to get. And everybody, the defense wants to beat the offense wants to beat the defense. When you're practicing against each other for days on end, you get a little annoyed at the guys on the other side and you want to win.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
So are you spending most of your time outside? Are you doing some inside? What kind of has been your role thus far?
I've been spending most of my time outside, learning the outside spots, getting those down. I mean, we've been through the playbook about four times now since rookie minicamp, so the defense is starting to make sense to a lot of the guys.
And when you go out there, and are you kind of, do you feel that you're able to play fast now? Do you feel like you've kind of got what you need to do? You're not thinking as much out there?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm getting there. There's still some times where you got to think about what's my rule, because our offense likes to shift every play.
They do.
they move a lot of guys around, so sometimes you get caught thinking about, especially if the strength formation changes, what your new rules are and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely getting more comfortable, and I'm able to play a lot more fluidly now.
Do you think going against this offense where they're throwing linemen out at wide receiver and then they're all running back and they're crossing this, that is going to kind of prepare you for anything that you could possibly see on Sunday?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think going against our offense every day in practice, it'll make everything the other teams throw at us. Hopefully we'll have seen it before, and if not, we'll be used to adapting on the fly and being able to cover that down.
So what are your impressions of Coach Jackson at this point?
I think he's just a great coach who likes to work, and he wants to hold everybody accountable, whether you're a 10-year vet or a rookie. He treats everybody the same, and you can tell he's enthusiastic every single day when he comes in meetings, when he's at practice, when he's talking to people, when he's talking to fans, and you just happen to be standing there. He's an enthusiastic guy, and I think he's a great head coach.
What's been your personal highlight of training camp so far?
I don't know. I think going against Joe Thomas a couple of times just in with the pads on actually is kind of one of my favorite things. I mean, he's one of, if not the best tackle in the league, future Hall of Famer. And it's just,
sure.
He's from Wisconsin, from where I'm at.
Sure.
So kind of surreal just to be on the same field playing against him, but it's been fun and it's been good to go up against a guy like that.
Emmanuel Ogba said, he's like, Joe Thomas knew what I was going to do before I did it. He's like, it's crazy and it's going to make me better. Was that your experience as well, or did you have a trick that you pulled out on the Wiley vet?
No, I think he definitely has the upper hand in terms of knowledge right now, in terms of he knows what people are going to do it. He's an athletic enough guy to stay with even the fastest of edge rushers. I didn't really pass rush too much against him. I was just in the run game, but you can still... He knows what you're going to do. You post that inside hand to try to stop him. He'll chop it down. He has got all those moves to kind of get himself in the best position and get you in the worst. So just kind of is a great learning experience for all of us.
Has that been a big change, just the focus on technique that you need to have at this level to be successful? Like, you just can't go out there and out-athlete somebody or dominate them, just the technique level at the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a step up from college. I think I was fortunate enough to be in a great coaching staff where technique was heavily emphasized in college too.
Good.
But yeah, definitely you can't just go run around everybody out here. You can't just use your athleticism and beat every single guy. So there's definitely a bigger influence on it, having the technique on every play. And you can't just one play forget about it, because then you'll get eaten up by some of these guys out here. So definitely it's been a step up.
So have you noticed a difference? Because this is a big rookie class, and you guys have come, you know, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, a lot of difference. Have you noticed kind of a difference in the level of technical coaching, say, that you got at Wisconsin versus maybe some of the other guys that have come in here? Not in a good or bad way, but just noticed that it was significantly different.
I don't think I've noticed anything too much significantly different. I mean, in terms of outside backers, with E-Man down at D-line now, it's been – I mean, Emmanuel was well-coached in technique when he got
here.
So I wouldn't say I noticed too much of a difference in that. I can't say I know too much about, like, wide receiver technique or anything like that.
Right,
so
of course.
I'm not sure, but I haven't noticed too much of a difference.
All right, is there anything that's kind of, like, stood out to you in the transition now that you've put the pads on for the first time as an NFL player, just in the difference between the college game and the pro game?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, the first thing I realized was, I mean, everybody talks about the speed of the game being faster. I think it's a little fast. I think mentally it's faster, but physically it's not that much faster. So it's not that hard to stay with. Like, if you know what you're doing, it's not that hard to play compared to college. But definitely when you're putting the pads on, the guys, physicality, the offensive line, it's like everybody's the best of the best you played in college, except it's every play in practice, whether it's the right. 1s, 2s, or 3s, there's those guys playing. So you gotta bring your A game every single snap in practice, and I can only imagine it'll amp up during game days.
Absolutely. Talk with Joe Schobert, Browns rookie linebacker. So let's talk about, so this is your first training camp, obviously, in the NFL. There's a big rookie class. Have you guys kind of really bonded, and you know, especially in the back room? I know Emmanuel now has moved up to DN, but you know, you got Scooby in there, some other guys in the linebacker group as a whole. I know it's separated outside, inside, but has it been like a good bonding experience for you rookies, and are you guys kind of like sharing your experiences together going through this?
Yeah, definitely. I think with rookie minicamp starting off in the spring when we were all here and we were the only ones who were here, starting that kind of that transition. And then we had all our rookie meetings. We've spent a lot of time around each other, and everybody's got to know each other, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I'm very comfortable with all the guys now, and include even in with the veterans in my room, all the outside linebackers, the inside linebackers, even the D linemen, the comfort level.
Kruger's a fine man. Paul Kruger's a fine man.
Paul Kruger's a great guy. Yeah. He's a great guy to have. I mean, technique-wise, talking over film, like he points out things that he notices, whether he did it wrong or somebody else. He's not afraid to point out something he did wrong for the betterment of the whole group. So we all see from that mistake and try to correct it, and then we can watch for it in ourselves and stuff. Yeah, he's a great guy to have in the room too.
In college, were you a big special teams guy?
Yeah, I played special teams all 4 years. My first 2 years, I played all four phases, and then my second two, I played at least two phases. I played everything. The technique's a little different. I play in a couple different spots than in what I did in college, but it's definitely been a good ride. Coach Tabes is a great coach.
Coach Tabor, the day that you were drafted, walked right here down this road and said, as soon as you're drafted, go, I got my guy. So he's obviously very excited to get you on teams. What's that been like in the NFL?
It's been a great experience. We haven't really put everything together so far with like going full speed with pads on, getting like live reps of special teams. It's been kind of teach tempo, and then we do drill work with specific parts of the play.
Sure.
Where you go full speed. I think that's a great way to get into it, because then you know your rules, you know your responsibilities, and then you work on specific things within each play. And I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks we'll put it all together before we go play a game. And I think that'll be
That sounds like at the orange and brown scrimmage, you were saying it's going to be like a game. You'll go through all the situations, kickoff, kick return, et cetera. So maybe that'll be the opportunity for you to get out there and do that. Now, has the rookie talent show happened yet?
No.
What is going to be your talent?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, we're going to have to think about that before it happens.
All right, so we've all seen the video of you doing the 360 dunk, so we know that you've got hops. Are you the best dunker on this team?
I haven't seen everybody else, but I'd have to say hopefully I'm up there.
Hopefully you're up there? Okay.
If there's a bunch of guys who are a lot better than me, then I'd be really excited about the athleticism of this team in terms of the whole NFL or an NBA team, actually.
Sure. All right, good. I liked it. So if dunking was possible, is that what you'd try to trot out there maybe as your talent, if that was like a possible selection?
Yeah, duh. If they put a basketball court in the team room and had a hoop up there, maybe I'd probably definitely try to do that.
You try to do that? All right. Well, how long did you play hoops in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in college, you were like, I'm just going to go football?
Yeah, I went football, but I still played intramurals like every semester that I wasn't playing football.
Were you dunking on people?
I was trying.
Awesome. Well, Joe, certainly it's been great to see you out there. One thing that, you know, stands out when you watch you either live or on tape, just the physicality you bring to it. Is that something that, like, is that in your heart? That's your hallmark? And maybe is that from your background, you know, guy who scrapped to get on at Wisconsin and get to the point where you had over 9 sacks in your senior year?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you have to also know your battles. I mean, you're going up against tackles, you kind of got to hunker down and use your leverage. But when you're going up against backs, tight ends, depending on the size of the tight ends, you know, you're naturally bigger, so once you get going, you'll be able to move them. I think physicality, just knowing how to do it and knowing when to do it and using technique when you're doing it, definitely is a big part of my game. And coming up and with the Wisconsin program, that's definitely something they preached. And every single player who goes through that, I think, has to have that mindset if they're going to play at Wisconsin. So it's something I picked up there.
How was the drill when you went, you know, one-on-one with the backs and you guys got to go in there and go for the pass pro? Was that fun for you?
Yeah, we went against tight ends.
Oh, you went against tight ends.
Yeah,
okay.
The outside backers, yeah. I mean, it's the same as going against like outside linebacker, except they're a lot more athletic. So some of those speed moves and stuff, you really don't work as well against the tight end. So you usually you use a little bit more power moves against them. But we weren't allowed to bull, so it's kind of just working technique and working hand fighting, just trying to get by them. That was very fun and very competitive.
So we got the orange and brown scrimmage coming up Saturday at the Shoe, a place that I'm sure you've been in your college career. This is a different experience for you than going there as you did as a member of the Wisconsin football team. Are you excited to kind of get back there in a different frame of mind?
Yeah, definitely. I think even just the difference from just being here at the facility every day for camp, I think that'll be a nice change up to go down there. And I did go there once in college, and it was a great atmosphere for that game, so I'm expecting something similar for this scrimmage. And I mean, great facility is a great place to play, so might as well have a practice there and do it.
Yeah, why not? Supposedly, yeah. There are already over 70,000 tickets have been distributed for the Orange and Brown scrimmage.
Well, that'll be a great crowd.
It'll be a solid crowd. It'll be a second. Have you had fun interacting with the Dog Pound at training camp since they got in the last 2 days, like after practice, going and talking to them?
Yeah, definitely. You can tell everybody around here is just bleeds orange and brown, and they come up after practice when you go to those autograph thing sessions, and all the little kids look up to you like, you know, you're an NFL. Like we used to look, like I used to look up to NFL players when I was a kid. Just like, how can these guys be human? I mean, it's great feeling. And then all the older people, all the parents, all the grandparents who come out and just bleed orange and brown, even though it hasn't been successful here all the time. Everybody love, from the city loves the
Browns. Turnaround is starting, man. Says it on your shirt. Let's go.
Yeah, 2016 turnaround. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Joe, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you, and I look forward to seeing you out on the field again later today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was our guest, Joe Schober, Browns rookie linebacker from Wisconsin. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. I've been counting all my steps, all my nose just turned to yes. Silently, I must confess my troubled history.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the Slammin' Swede, the Duncan Dutchman, Mo Pedman here. Matt Fontana did a great job today on the self-contained segment. Fontana, tip of the cap to you, Mon Frere. Props.
I worked very hard on it.
Welcome to the industry.
By the way, you have arrived. By the way, Matt Wilhelm, here's some news that might be good for you.
Yes.
The Associated Press has done its top 25 of all time college football programs. Number one, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
They're not paid by anybody to do that.
Nope.
They give their unbiased opinion.
That's because Ohio State has the most weeks as AP's number one, 105, the most weeks ranked, 852, and the most years ranked, 77 out of 80.
I've been on an unranked team.
Really?
Well, it all depends. Is it opening season or end of the season?
I think it just means at some point during the season.
Probably.
You're ranked, bro.
We were 6-6 in 99.
Wow.
That was bad. No fun.
And then Tressel.
Yeah.
And then title.
Well, actually, no. It was Cooper another year, and then we lost to Michigan again.
And that was it.
And then it was Tressel, yes.
I takes all I can takes, and I can't takes no more.
No.
That's what happened. And then the vest came in, and it was good times there. All right. What are you looking for today out there at practice?
For me, you know what? I want to continue to see, and I want to say it over and over again, and I think for all of you who do come to practice, just pay attention to the amount of coaching that's going on and how receptive these players are to those coaches. And just by after practice with, you know, my wife and kids here, as well as some family friends, just catching up with Paul Kruger, who had an off day yesterday, and Josh McCown, two guys that have been in this league a long time, that have been other places, and won other places, and just talk to them about the work that's going into practice, which is catching some of these guys off guard that they're still adjusting to. And even Paul Kruger just saying, it's like, these are NFL coaches that coach us hard, that build us up, that break us down. And that is part of the process to get you ready for the real deal.
Yes, it is. And today, I think the pads will be on. I'd be surprised if they weren't. Sounds like it's going to
be. The pads are going to be on. I mean, I've seen the schedules. The pads are going to be on.
Every day.
Every day throughout the end of this week.
Every day.
Okay? And to be very honest, the mentality behind that is, like I said, it's 11-on-11, you know, for those 16 weeks. We're going to do 11-on-11. When you don't go pads, you get so – I don't want to say that. I mean, it's not grammatically correct. You get so little done when you're not in pads compared to when you are in pads. So that's why Hugh's going to keep us in pads. And I think Hugh has the mentality – of getting these guys ready to play 11-on-11, play football games.
Play football.
And you have to practice in pads to be ready for that. And I think also Hugh is going to do his very best. And if you heard, you know, the quotes from Hugh Jackson in his press conference when asked about the number of padded practices, every opportunity they have to be in pads, they will be in pads. And I just even thought going back to when I was – they would have had a padded practice this morning for 2.5 hours, then a 2.5 hour break, and another padded practice right now. If I survived in years and generations of guys
you're
survived
thriving,
doing that,
by the way.
You know, this is a cakewalk.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on.
Excited to see them out there. Day 5 of Browns training camp here in Berea. Getting ready to kick off right after we go off the air. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Mo Pedman, who has fond memories of the summer of 76. For Matt Fontana and, of course, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.